honor and the praise for what he's going to do in our lives this week. I'm telling you, I really feel something big. The Lord is going to show us some amazing things about his nature. And I pray that this teaching I'm bringing to you today and will continue with tomorrow and Wednesday, maybe even Thursday, will leave such an impact in your life. Oh, Lord God, please do it in Jesus' name. That your relationship will be enhanced and get closer to the Lord. You know, we all want to get closer to the Lord Jesus. And I believe that what I will share with you is going to really help you get closer as you know him better. So I'm talking about the hiding God. And I want to explain that to you. But first, let's pray. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord, I pray today that you will use your word to touch our hearts and touch our lives and bring us close and closer and closer and closer to you, Lord, that we might walk with you like Moses cried out one day, that I may know you, Lord, that I may know you. That's our heart's prayer today, that we might know you deeply, intimately, eternally. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Now, I'm going to talk to you about God hiding himself, but God revealing himself in his names. And I'm going to focus on the three major names in the Bible: Elohim, Adonai, and Jehovah. Now, there's more names than that, of course. But these are the three major names we see in the Bible over and over and over. Now, let's understand something very important, because we have to understand that God really reveals his identity, his character, his nature, really through his names. He chose his names to reveal himself. So we're going to focus on Elohim first and understand that. Then tomorrow we're going to focus on Adonai and understand that. And then we're going to focus on Jehovah. Now that'll take me probably 2 days to just explain Jehovah, because it's so powerful. So these names are like jewelry. They're like jewels that reflect God's brilliance. I'm getting blessed just saying that. Because they reflect the brilliance of his nature, and they will enhance our love for the Lord. Once we understand his three main names, our love is going to explode inside of us. That's what we all want. That's what Chad wants. That's what you want. That's what I want. And so, let's talk about his first name, Elohim. Now, Elohim speaks of might, speaks of plurality, speaks of sovereignty, and speaks of unity. Whenever you see the name Elohim in the Bible, it speaks of might. God is mighty, number two. God is plurality, trinity, number three. God is sovereign. And number four, he's one, unity. So whenever you see the word Elohim in the Bible, think about those four things I just said: might, plurality, sovereignty, unity. Elohim is applied to God 2,300 times in the Old Testament, just in the Old Covenant alone. So it comes from the word El. El means greatness, power, glory. It's actually derived from greatness. It's derived from power and glory. And when you put both together, Elohim, it speaks of creativity. It speaks of sustaining power. It speaks of divine omnipotence and sovereign majesty. I'm going to repeat that, because it's so important that when we see that name in the Bible, we have to understand what it's really what God is trying to reveal to us. So when you put El by itself, it means greatness, power, glory. When you put Elohim together, it speaks of creative, sustaining power. Creative, sustaining power. Like he holds all things by the word of his power. That's creative, sustaining power. It also speaks of divine omnipotence. Omnipotence that's divine. Power that's divine. And sovereign majesty. It presents him as king. So every time we see Elohim, it presents the Lord as one who sustains, one who is not only powerful, but divine in power, and also majesty, sovereign majesty. So the attributes of God are seen in his creation. When God created the world, we see his name used, Elohim used, 35 times. So think about just when he created the world, his name brought that about. There's power in his name, Elohim. Incredible power. So it is Elohim who created the vast universe. And it's Elohim that sustains it. So Elohim, and I'll explain Jehovah later because Jehovah has to do with covenant, with relationship with you and me, okay? But Elohim has to do with sustaining power. So when God created the universe, it's still there. It has been there for centuries. Why? Because of Elohim. In addition, not only does it have sustaining power, it's more than that. It actually represents God the Father in the power of his wise design. Elohim has to do with design. Not only power that is sustained, creation that is sustained, but it presents God as a great designer. Think about the world. Think about a flower. The beautiful designer that put that together. The genius behind it. Think about the fruits and the vegetables we buy in stores. People today walk into a place like Whole Foods and never think about God. But he's all over the store. In the rice. In the fruit. In the vegetables. In the oils. In the colors. God gave all that to us. We didn't produce it ourselves. And what is amazing, it's still being producing. It's still producing. It's still sustained. It's still happening. You sow the seed and it keeps bringing the harvest multiplied millions and millions and millions of times. That's sustaining power. That's what I mean. So Elohim not only speaks of one who creates, but one who keeps creating, who keeps sustaining. And in addition, wise design. Think about the beauty of creation, the beauty of the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe. Think about the beauty when you look at the ocean and the flowers and the mountains. That beauty. Who brought that about? A great designer, great genius. God Almighty. Now, the Son of God is the creative word. Creative word, because by him all this happened. You see, God the Father spoke it. God the Son did it. All things were made by him. And it's the Holy Spirit who brought it about. The Trinity works together because that's why the name Elohim is triune. You know, it's very interesting. You know, I am learning Hebrew. And I said to my professor one day, Sigal Zohar is her name, from Hebrew University. I said, that name Elohim speaks of Trinity. Oh, no, no, she said, it speaks of majesty. I said, even that's even better, because my God is so majestic in Trinity. Well, she did not agree with the fact he's triune, because she didn't believe as we do. But I did say to her, but that's a plural word. Oh, yes, she said, it is plural because it's majestic. Like she said, the Queen of England, doesn't say I, she says we, which is a fact. Or the Pope doesn't say I, he says we. The Pope or the Queen of England or a king of a country, maybe you didn't know that, always speaks in plurality. You'll never hear a king say I or me. He says we, because he's representing his kingdom. So I said, wow, this is even better than I thought. Because when she said it speaks of majesty, it just got so excited, and she had no clue why I was so thrilled. I was about to shout, glory to God and hallelujah, but I didn't want to shake her all up, the poor thing. But the amazing thing is the Bible teaches that too. But Jesus is the Word. He is the creative Word. So think about God the Father creates, and Jesus does that creative Word. He's the doer. And he said, I came to do the will of my Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings it about. That speaks of, it's his mission. His mission is to bring about what God spoke, what Jesus does. So, what is the mission of the Holy Spirit? It is bringing into reality the power of God. Bringing it into life, into being, to us. So, it's Elohim. Now listen carefully. It is Elohim who gives the promise. Oh, this is wonderful. But it is Jehovah that brings it to his people. And I'll talk about this, of course, Wednesday. So we're not going to get there till Wednesday. Because tomorrow I'm going to teach about the name Adonai. Very powerful. And Adonai means Master, Lord. But he is our God. He is our Elohim. But Elohim is the one who speaks the promise. Jehovah is the one who delivers the promise to his children. See, the world does not know him as Jehovah, only as Elohim. Like people look and say, oh, look at what God has done, Even atheists who don't believe in God will have to admit someone put this together. It didn't just happen by itself. Maybe they'll never say it, but when they're laying in bed thinking about it, believe me, every person believes in God. Even Putin of Russia, they asked him a question recently about his faith. And he says, this is a Russian president who said a few days ago, he said, every human being has God within him at birth. Amazing that he would say that. He said, we all are born with God in us. He said those words. He said, even the atheist knows that. And he said, even the atheist who denies it says that. In his heart, he knows that. He's always searching for that emptiness that only God can fill, because we're all born with God in us. And I thought, what an amazing thing a man would say like that. So God Almighty, Elohim, is known by humanity. They may not know his name, but they know there's some power out there that, put this together. Now, this is so wonderful. I wanna just say a few more things about Elohim, and then I may just even begin to give you a little taste of tomorrow's teaching. Elohim is what angels know. Angels do not know Jehovah, because there's no covenant, there's no relationship. Satan does not know Jehovah. He knows Elohim, he doesn't know Jehovah. When he came to tempt Eve, he did not say, did Jehovah say? He said, did Elohim say? Isn't that powerful? Did God say? Did Elohim say? And then she responds by saying, Elohim said. Because she did not know the God of that covenant yet. Somehow, Eve did not accept him as Jehovah in her life. Because she rejected him, the minute she answered the devil and said, Elohim said. So now Satan comes and says, did Elohim say? Did Elohim say? She should have said, well, I don't know who Elohim is. But she did not say that. She now denied God in her heart. Because God presented himself to Adam and Eve as Jehovah. The name Elohim was never revealed to them. Only Jehovah. God came to Adam as Jehovah. He came to Eve as Jehovah. It says the Lord God and the Lord God. The first time we see that is in Genesis 2:4. The Lord God in the creation of Adam. Isn't that amazing? That the first time we see the name Jehovah is in connection with creating man, not the world. God creates the world with Elohim, 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 Elohim the whole time. When he creates man, it's Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elohim. The covenant is there. But what happened? They did not accept him as Jehovah. So angels do not know him as Jehovah God. They know him only as Elohim. Let's look quickly also at Jeremiah, just quickly. Because there's a lot in the Bible that, you know, I'm not giving you at this point because this is a vast subject, very vast subject. But let's look at Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. The Lord here is Jehovah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their Elohim, their God, and they shall be my people. Notice how the name Jehovah comes before Elohim when it comes to God's people. Did you notice that in verse 33? I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord, and then I will be their Elohim. When it comes to the world, they don't know the Lord. They don't know Jehovah. So the King James translators chose the name Lord in capital letters for every time the Hebrew says Yahweh. You know, as I am studying Hebrew, I'm forbidden by my own professor to even say the name Jehovah when I'm reading the Bible with her. I'm always having to say Adonai, 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 means Lord, Lord, Lord. But you know, the King James translators, and by the way, the name Lord means master. But the King James translators chose the word Lord because they felt like the Jews. They felt it was too holy to say Jehovah in the Bible. They wrote it in the Hebrew as Jehovah, but not in the English. You'll never see it in the King James Bible. In the King James Bible, you see the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. But the Hebrew says, Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. And the Jews read it as Adonai, 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 Adonai. So, to me, it's kind of fascinating. But it is used in Hebrew always as Yahweh. Now, look at Jeremiah 32, verse 40. And we see that so often. So let's just look at that quickly. And then I'm going to just kind of begin with my teaching on Adonai just for just a moment. But let me just look at this with you. This is verse 40, Jeremiah 32. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they may not depart from me. How amazing that God puts his fear only in those who know him as Jehovah. You know, the unbeliever has no fear of God. Why? They don't know him as Jehovah. Only those who know him as Jehovah have their fear in them. So he says, I will not turn away from them. Only because of the name Jehovah, he'll not turn away from them. To do them good, he will do them good only because he's Jehovah to them. I'll put my fear in their hearts because he's Jehovah to them. and they'll not depart from me because he's Jehovah. So when we meet God as Jehovah, we will never walk away. And this is something very important I'm going to say now. When someone leaves the faith, they really have never met Jehovah. They only have known God. Wow. So when you hear about somebody who says he left the faith, he's an apostate, he never met Jehovah. You can't walk away from Jehovah because he won't let you. Isn't that something? Because he says here, I will put my fear in their hearts. They will not depart from me. And then I will rejoice over them to do them good. Why? Because of Jehovah. You're getting blessed over there. Why?
It's wonderful.
Now speak it out so they can hear you.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah, but you know why? Because when we meet him as Jehovah, he will hold on to us.
Relational,
you got it. But when we don't know him as Jehovah, there's no relationship, there's no covenant, so the people walk away. So when that guy who supposedly was a worship leader, which is a joke to me, and he walks away from the faith a few months ago and says he no longer believes in God, well, he never met Jehovah. That's the problem. He met Elohim by his creation, his beauty, his greatness. He said, there must be a God because of all this around me. But there was never a relationship with the Lord. That relationship comes through the name what? Jehovah. So Elohim is known by angels. Elohim is known by demons. Elohim is known by the carnal people. Elohim is known by the unbelievers who even hate him. But you can't hate him once you know him as Jehovah. It's impossible. You only love him. Because in Jehovah there's love, relationship. And the name Jehovah is an ongoing revelation, while the name Elohim is not. You missed what I just said. You missed it too. Do you remember what God said to Moses? He said, Abraham did not know me as Jehovah. Because Jehovah requires an ongoing relationship. From revelation to revelation to revelation to revelation. Moses was the first one to receive that and to understand it, to say, I want to know you more. Because whenever you meet Jehovah, there's a depth that says, give me more, show me.